Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. In the name of Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, Jesus fed thousands, miraculously so, with only a couple loaves of bread and a few small fish, an outstanding miracle in its own right, undisputedly one of his greatest. Last week, following that amazing performance of multiplication, he gives a private little showing to his disciples, treading upon the sea as if he's the Lord of all creation, which of course he is. He even says as much, doesn't he, with those words of his, "I am." Jesus, he is the God who saves, the God who gives life, the God who rescues from evil and the things of death. You remember how he pulled Peter out from beneath the waves and placed him gently back into the boat where he belonged? Yes, this is the God who does all things well, giving and granting life and salvation in the flesh. And so it is again. We find Jesus doing the same sorts of things for our text this morning. But before we get there, we have to at least mention the stuff that we don't actually read, because we skip over about 20 verses between last week and this morning. And it's in those 20 verses that Jesus once again says some things that set the people, particularly the Pharisees, on edge. You see, his disciples had been going about eating their lunch without washing their hands, and this the Pharisees couldn't stand. Now, refusing to wash your hands before eating may be unhygienic and a poor choice when it comes to staving off sickness. Children, make sure to wash your hands before you eat today. But it doesn't defile you. It doesn't make you unclean. The Pharisees, they thought that it did because they made up a rule. They made up a tradition, a law that said so. And then they tried to place everybody under that coercion. But Jesus, he wasn't having that anymore. And so he goes on to talk about what truly defiles a person, what truly makes a person unclean in the sight of God. And it certainly isn't the things that go into your mouth. What defiles us isn't what we think it is, or what we've made up and conjured and attempted to force others to do so that we can place them under our thumbs, and we can be considered good people, and we can say that they're not. No, it's the things that come out of our mouths. Therefore, it's the things that actually come out of our hearts, the sinful things that we say and we do. These are the things that defile us. And these things are pretty clear. They're just laid out. They're easy to know. They're easy to understand because they don't morph and they don't change like shifting sand, like how society constantly changes what's good and what's considered evil, seemingly every new week. No, these things, they're laid out for us by our Lord, pretty distinctly, actually, in his commandments, in his law. Love your brother. Protect him in his body. Respect your spouse in the institution of marriage. Speak kindly of all. Don't take stuff that isn't yours. Always have the truth on your lips. Those who fail to do these things have an unclean heart, and therefore, we can say these are the ones who are actually unclean. And not just us. This is how Jesus puts it in those 20 verses. Well, like I said, this didn't seem to make the works righteousness Pharisees very happy. Mostly because works righteousness people only want to do the works that they want to do and what they see fit. And when the Lord actually lays out before them the entirety of his law, they become annoyed and irritated and incredulous. Needless to say, the Pharisees are more than a little bit angry with Jesus. So he takes a moment to let those guys cool off, and he skips town. And he also takes this opportunity to demonstrate the truth of what really makes one clean and unclean in real time and with real people. So up to the land of Tyre and Sidon, way up north there and to the west too, past Judea, even past all of Galilee. This is the land that had never been part of the nation of Israel. And so these are the people, by all accounts, at least to the Israelites, had never been seen as God's people. They were, of course, but nobody down south in Israel would have ever thought so. So Jesus, he goes up there to Tyre. He also goes to Sidon. He goes up to the land where Queen Jezebel came from. And no matter how illiterate you might be about the Old Testament, you've probably all heard about this infamous lady. Hers is a moniker that no woman would like hanging around her neck. Being the unbelieving pagan who married an Israelite king, sought to kill the true prophets of God, and helped to turn the entire northern kingdom to idolatry. And so in the eyes of the Pharisees, and even Jesus' disciples in our text for today, this whole land, this whole area of Tyre and Sidon is full of nothing but a bunch of sinners, unclean ones at that, Jezebels, the whole lot of them. And now finally, we stumble upon this Canaanite woman in our text with a daughter severely oppressed by a demon. And I know half of the sermon has come and gone, but these things had to be explained. Otherwise, it wouldn't make much sense why Jesus behaves the way that he actually does. Otherwise, it would appear that Jesus is just being a big old jerk and treating this woman horribly. Otherwise, it might seem as if Jesus is giving us license to view people who don't look like us as somehow less than us or unclean. And perhaps that isn't the thing that bogs you down. Perhaps you don't see color or race. I pray that you don't. This world is ugly enough without that sort of sin in your life. But also, this account in our gospel reading today, it's not just about Jews versus Gentiles. It's about clean and unclean. It's about worthy versus unworthy. And no matter how you slice it, we all struggle with that sin. None of us can help but make up our own little laws about what makes someone clean or unclean, holy or unholy, worthy or unworthy. In the sight of us, in the sight of God. All of us are great at telling others that their particular sin is vastly more egregious than ours. All of us are guilty of whitewashing our own track record and justifying ourselves where God's law says that we are most certainly not justified. So yeah, Jesus has a law even for you today as well, even if you aren't in the exact same boat as the disciples. So along comes this Canaanite woman who has faith greater than all of his disciples probably combined, because she knows exactly what type of God we have and therefore knows exactly who Jesus is willing to be merciful to. But Jesus, he kind of lets the story play out a little bit. And I'm pretty confident it isn't because he isn't willing to help this poor little girl from Canaan. No, he needs to hold up a mirror before all of those self-righteous sinners out here who still find ourselves with our measuring sticks and our rule books and our self-constructed winner's podium that we've all climbed atop of. So when the woman cries out, Jesus is silent, not because he doesn't want to talk to her, but because he needs the disciples to open up their mouths and convict themselves with their own words. And yes, he does that with us, too. Send her away, the disciples say, for she's crying out after us. Now, at first glance, it might appear as if the disciples don't want Jesus to do anything for her, just for her to be quiet, send her away from us. So give the crybaby what she's asking for, so we don't have to hear about her unclean daughter anymore. But Jesus, he knows their minds and knows that they don't think that she's worthy to receive anything from a Jewish Messiah. So he answers them back. But I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, right? How is it then that you want me to help someone? That's obviously not a sheep, but it's more like a dog. Jesus, he's great at showing us the evil in our hearts by making us listen to the very words that come out of our mouths. And in the same way that we've all become silent once we realize that we've painted ourselves into a corner with the words that we've said, the disciples, they don't say another thing in our reading for today. But the woman does. Almost as if right on cue, the woman yaps away there, presses him even further. "Lord, help me," she implores. Doesn't she just sound like a beaten little puppy that's looking for a loving hand to scratch behind her ears? That's because she's a woman who will not be shamed into silence. She's a mother who will not let her daughter go on suffering when salvation stands right in front of her. She's a woman who knows that she doesn't deserve what she's asking for, but she's going to ask for it nonetheless, because she knows that the man standing right in front of her doesn't care two licks about perceived cleanness and deals a whole different way about real, true cleanness and holiness than everyone else on the face of this planet. Well, Jesus is going to go ahead and twist the knife just a little bit more into the sides of his self-righteous disciples. He and this Canaanite woman seem to be on the same page, and so he's going to have her help with this teaching lesson just a little bit longer. He calls the woman a dog, infers that her daughter's a scrawny little mongrel who doesn't deserve bread that belongs to the children. Again, this is for the disciples. It's for us. It's for anyone who still believes that they might be intrinsically worthy to receive bread from the hand of the Lord based upon who they are in and of themselves. And so while we're so worried about trying to figure out who among us are children, Jesus shows us that there aren't any children to begin with. Not by birth, not inherently, intrinsically, not by the works of our own hands or the things that we've done. There's no one who deserves this bread that's handed out. And so, yes, if you want to be blunt about it, apart from Christ, in this scenario, everyone's a dog. And this is where the Canaanite woman shows her great faith that's been gifted to her by the Holy Spirit. "Yes, Lord," she responds. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Now, our English translation uses the word "yet," but I think a clearer way of hearing this just might be using the word "for." So it reads like this: "Yes, Lord, for the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Not meaning that the dogs might accidentally be lucky enough to find a crumb or two that the children recklessly let fall to the floor, but instead that when the children eat, the dogs eat too. The master makes sure that everyone eats. Feeding the dogs is not an afterthought. Feeding the dogs is part of the mealtime feast. No one is going to be left hungry. So this woman, she plays right along with this game in Jesus, to the shame of the disciples and everyone else who thinks that Jesus doesn't care about everyone. She knows that he's the type of master that cares for everyone under his roof. So sure, go ahead, call her a dog. That's what the Pharisees and the disciples think of her, but not Jesus. Jesus doesn't think that her daughter is too unclean to be saved either. We're all unclean, each and every single one of us. No one deserves to be fed, but Jesus is going to go ahead and make sure to feed us nonetheless, because cleanness is a gift given. It's not a title that we earn. And in that way, we're all unclean dogs, but at the same time, we're all righteous children because of the work of Christ our Lord. He makes us what we are, and what we are sinners who've been declared righteous by the work of Christ Jesus. So go ahead and howl after this Jesus fellow. Whimper out to him for help and for mercy. No matter your circumstance, no matter your current state of affairs, from this pew right here, from a hospital bed, from anywhere, bark out to the Lord, the Son of David, to God in the flesh, who came to save sinners, because the only type of people there are sinners. And there's no such thing as too unclean. There's no such thing as a situation too far gone. Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life are yours, and you receive them from the loving hand of your Master, who's going to make sure that you're fed and that you don't go hungry. And his food is such that even a crumb is more than a feast. Even a sip is enough to quench your thirst. The God who died on the cross for you has made sure of that. You are his child. You will never go hungry. In the name of Jesus.